Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Will, and today I get to interview somebody from my old neck of the woods, where I'm born and raised on the south side of the Chicago area, actually Northwest Indiana, as we call it, the region. Yeah, she can laugh. She knows what I'm talking about. Miss Karen Hand, from she'll tell us a little bit about hypnosis. And we just, it's a free-flowing thing, and she's going to share a really cool technique at the end. So make sure you stay until the end. So welcome, Miss Karen.
Thank you very much, Dr. Will. I'm very thrilled to be here.
Well, let's start with the usual. What got you into hypnosis and how? Oh, what got you in?
This is I'll make this story short. I was a radio personality in Chicago. And on my show one night, a girlfriend had told me she knew some hypnotists. And so on my show one night, I wanted to have these hypnotists on, you know, to make fun of people, make them bark like dogs or cluck like chickens or do funny stuff. And I had them on the show, and lo and behold, they said there was a lot more to hypnosis than this, just that stage stuff. And I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about hypnosis, really, except that people acted weird. And so I went out to their center. I was hypnotized, and I fell in love. I've had three epiphanies, Will, in my life so far. The first was I walked into a radio studio in college and said, oh, my God, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. The second was seeing my husband walk down the hallway of CBS. We worked together at CBS at one point, and I said, wow, that guy's got cute buns. I'm going to marry him. That happened. We've been married now 29 years. And the third was walking into that hypnosis center and getting hypnotized. And I said, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. Just like that. And so I began studying. The friend who turned me on to these hypnotists was a radio gal too, and she was ready to leave radio. So we did not sign our next contracts, and we opened up a hypnosis center instead. And that was in 2005. So that's where the interest developed. I've learned a whole lot more about it since then, by the way. I could certainly make somebody bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken, but only if that helps. Only if that helps with whatever change they want to make, right?
Yeah. Well, you came in through – one thing I love about the hypnosis, the NLP world, is most of the people come in with a passion. Because something happened, maybe they stopped smoking, lose weight, stress management, something that they go, I want to do this. Rarely do you get somebody, I mean, it's not like I want to be a psychologist where then you got this 15-year track. It's usually that it's that epiphany kind of passion kind of thing. So that's always cool. But let's start with something kind of cool because, you know, you came in, ran a big hypnosis center with several offices, and I know the system quite well. We were talking about that before we started, but it kind of can segue into the importance of training and continuing training because, you know, I always use the analogy, you wouldn't want to go to a doctor, a heart specialist that got trained in the 1960s, even though he went to the best school and, you know, he hasn't updated his training since 1968. You'd say, no, I think I want to go to a new guy. And yet the hypnosis world is full of people. They took their training 5, 10, 20 years ago, and they act like they're done. So just tell us some of your ideas about training, because I know you're always going to trainings. I see you at conferences. And
I go to all kinds of trainings. I will take any training that I can get into at any conference I go to and take something from it. I don't believe everything. It took me a while. I mean, I was a little gullible, Dr. Will, at first when I heard people say this technique works every time for everyone. You don't have to use anything else. You don't ever have to learn anything else. Boy, I bought right in, directly suggestible. Yes. Okay. And I would take that technique and I would use it. As you said, I had a big center. When I first got into the business, go big or go home, I bought a big center. I employed 5 hypnotists. My business partner and I were the 2 main hypnotists. And we had lots of people, lots of clients to play with. And so I would take any new technique I learned, and I had lots of people I could try it on. And I believed when I was told, this is the technique. I kept looking for the magic. And I would try it on clients, and I would do it to the letter. I would practice it outside of with clients and then with clients. And I discovered that, yes, these techniques all work. All techniques work. They just don't work all the time. And so you have to know, as the hypnotist, what to do, how to pivot, how to step up when something doesn't go as you were told that it's supposed to go, or that it will go every time, because it won't. People are really different. And that's what I discovered. The biggest takeaway for me is that every single person who walks into my office, the metaphor I like to use is they walk in with a box of puzzle pieces. And sometimes on top of their box, they will have a very clear picture of what they want those puzzle pieces to be put together to look like. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have kind of a vague or a fuzzy picture, or even a blank cover. They don't even know what they're going for. But we have to together then open that box, dump all of those pieces out, turn them all right side up, and then assemble them into the change or the place that the client eventually wants to be. Now, I have all sorts of ideas perhaps about how they could easily get there, but that's just at giving somebody advice, right? That's not what we do. My job is to listen to them as we turn over those pieces and discover what's stopping them from getting what they want. And they will tell us every single time if we listen and if we know how to listen to what it is they want, and they'll tell us exactly how to get there, etc., as long as we listen. So I love what I learned in NLP, the outcome specification technique, which is a set of questions that really does the whole thing for you. If you'll ask the questions and listen to the answers, you'll know exactly where to go. Now, this may sound like I'm kissing up. I'm not. But I want you to know, and this is true. I don't know if I've ever even told this to you, Will, but I took quite a bit of NLP training before I ever arrived on the DVD set sold by Will Horton. I took a lot of NLP. I read a lot of NLP. And I would sometimes get bogged down in the weeds, get lost in the weeds. Eventually, I got this DVD set. I turned it on and listened to it. And lo and behold, in a basic prac and a master prac DVD course from Will Horton, I learned NLP. And I fell in love with NLP, because what I believe you do, and I don't know exactly how you do what you do, but what I believe you do is the NLP thing about chunking down. Chunk it down to the lowest common denominator and teach that. I didn't have to learn what a, I'm trying to think of one of the linguistic terms, what an interrogative was in order to figure out how to do a language pattern. I didn't have to learn that terminology. I didn't have to go back to seventh grade English to learn that. And that is what made me go, ah, this is a whole world that I can do. Now I get it. And so from you, I learned the chunking down, and that has helped me exponentially in dealing with clients. Let's get it down to the lowest common denominator. Let's go the easiest approach, and let's not require our students or our clients to go back to junior high and learn a whole set of terminology in order to make a change. Wait. So that is, that maybe is tangential, and I don't know where I was even going with that, but yes.
Well, thank you.
Are you rushing?
Yes. Tell me more. Tell me more. It's like when I got into NLP, that was one of the problems. I always say, you know, as you heard, we talked before, people fall in love with their own voice, and teachers do it. And then, because I think one of the hardest things to do as a teacher is, I'm like you, I'm constantly learning. But if I'm going to teach a basic skill set, it's a basic skill set, right? And I see so many people, it'll be a basic, but they bring in these advanced techniques that the people there aren't ready for. And I think the martial arts I took for many, many years, and I still love, taught me a lot, which is I can't teach you a spinning back kick unless you know how to do a front kick, a side kick, and a back kick all individually. And guess what? That may be all you ever need, right? You know, you may not need to do a spinning back kick, but so many people, you go to these things and they want to teach a spinning hook kick, but you got to learn the basics and this. And for most people, the basics are fine. And so thank you. Yes. And, but when you said about, like, you know, constantly taking trainings, and, you know, I call it the paradox of knowledge that we start falling into, which is to keep an open mind when you're walking into a training, because sometimes you'll go, this is just like,
right,
which you shouldn't make that statement till you go all the way through to the end, because I've been in trainings, I don't know about you, where you're like, this is just like, and then there's a pivot somewhere in there and you're like, where did that come from? You know, it's like a movie that you go, I didn't see that coming, right? So where do you hope to see, here's a question you might not be ready for, but where do you hope to see like the hypnosis world, which is still in its infancy, mm-hmm. by the way, I think NLP hypnosis kind of, you know, still in its infancy as a profession and even as a therapeutic art, if you will, even though it's been around for thousands of years in our format, where do you see it going?
You know, I see it really go expanding in a way that, let me see if I can get a metaphor here, in a way that looks more like a family tree than this is what you have to do. And I think medicine does that too. I think medicine already looks that way, sort of. If you go into the doctor and you tell them your symptoms and they say, oh, I know exactly the medication that will work for that. And they write you out the script and you take the medication for a week. And then you go back and say, it didn't help. They simply pivot and say, oh, well, here's one that we can try instead. We'll try this thing instead. And people don't say, gosh, my doctor doesn't know what they're talking about. They prescribed the wrong thing. The doctor just has more information now and moves on to the next possibility. I think that's where hypnosis should go too. I think too many trainings say, do it this way, do it that way, and if it doesn't work, there's something wrong with you. And I kind of think that's the wrong way to approach it. I think if something is not working as planned, i.e. an antibiotic for a particular infection, if that antibiotic isn't working, there are a number of other antibiotics that can be tried, or perhaps it's not that's the solution to begin with. What else can we try? Maybe it's changing diet. Maybe it's changing exercise. Maybe it's getting more sleep. Maybe there are other things that should be tried. If doctors had more time to spend and cared to spend time listening to their clients and working with, or their patients and working with them, I think they would have many more successes in the medical field, actually. So that's where I hope we go. I hope we go to, when we go to a training, we look at the training from the mindset of, what can I learn from this? What can I take out of this? Is there anything in here that I can use with what I already know or to add on to what I already know? I've been to many trainings where they've got a technique that they are using, and that's wonderful. And it's another technique or another way to do a particular technique, and that's great. But the part to really watch for is all of the other stuff that they're doing that is not the technique. What are the words they're saying? What's that turn of phrase? What's a metaphor that was used? Oh my gosh, I've never thought of saying it that way before. I'm going to try it this way. There are all sorts of things people can take from trainings if they will watch and listen and figure out that there's more to it than just the technique, just the steps.
Cool.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Well, you know, you bring up something I've been saying a lot lately and have for a while is like the medical model. And what I mean by that is what you just brilliantly said about like, okay, we'll try this. If it doesn't work, we'll go do something else. You know, it's like, you know, what is it? You know, I can't think of one, but amoxicillin doesn't work for my wife, right? Works great for me, but she needs those Z-Pack things. But what? You know, and nobody goes, oh my God, they just need more Z-Pack, you know, a harder regression, which is what a hypnotist would do or whatever, right?
Yes, exactly.
So let's do something else. But also too, I think where I see the field going within the next few years, if the trainers get out of the way, and what I mean by that is follow the medical model where, you know, a doctor's trained as a general practitioner. Every doctor can do basic medicine. Right? Great. And many doctors want to stay there. My buddy, Dr. Butler, is a anti-aging specialist, but he's a general practitioner. But he's, you know, anyway, great. But if you're really going to specialize, they specialize, maybe we won't get to the medical model where, you know, a guy that does a shoulder won't even look at an elbow.
Right.
But you know, one of the things I do hope to see is more cross-referencing, which is because that's where I think hypnotists and NLPers get in their own way. It's like somebody shows up with a problem and you're like, I don't really know what to do, right? And a good doctor will go, well, I'm going to send you to somebody that might know.
Right.
But a good, these guys, no, I can. And I think this comes from certain organizations and certain people that they're the expert in everything. Absolutely right. Everything. Right. And then I can even say in the psych model, you know, psychology's done. I think we should follow the psych model more than the medical model, where there's certain subspecialties. A clinical child psychologist, that's all they're only good with kids. They're not going to do other things. And I hope we start doing that. And I don't just say that aggressively in my own self-interest, because I'm kind of known as the addiction guy, you know, but I go to some of these things and I hear some of the stupidest crap from people that you're just like, no, that's, if you really understood how this works, that's not it. You know,
it goes back to what you said though, with sometimes bad trainers. I have heard any number of trainers say the first thing you say to anybody when they call and say, can you do this, is, oh, yes, I do that all the time. That's your first response. And then you get them in. And of course, this technique that I've taught you will work with everything. Oh, my gosh, is that a mistake? First of all, we are so lucky. I believe I'm lucky in that I can pick and choose what I want to work with and what I don't want to work with. As an example, I got a call just the other day from a guy who said, I know that you do regression work. Will you regress me back to find out if I really was abducted by a UFO when I was 3? And I said, first thing you got to know is hypnosis is not a truth serum. So we are not going to do a lie detector session and find out if it was true or if it wasn't. What we might discover is what metaphors you've gotten out of it or what other things might happen. But before I got into any of that, I just told him that it's not a truth serum. And what I said to him is, if you want to do exploration with that, I know 2 people in the Chicago area who really focus in on that, and I'm going to give you their number. I didn't really want to go down that particular path with that guy because he was going to, my feeling was, I don't know what he was going to do, but my feeling was he was going to argue back and forth for whether or not it was true. My belief system says I could not do that for him. Doesn't mean that hypnosis doesn't work or that it may not work for him with somebody else. But there are a couple of people in the area that I can refer him to who will do that, who love doing that, and that's really the crux of their practice. So I'm lucky in that I get to do that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with referring on to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
Another way for us to do that, that we can do that, I believe, is when somebody calls and the first thing they ask about is price. How much is it? My first response to them is, I'm going to be real honest with you right now. I am definitely not the cheapest hypnotist in Chicago. If price is your number one consideration, I will be happy to refer you to a couple of my students who are more flexible in that area than am I.
Yeah, you don't go to Morton's Steakhouse and expect to pay for McDonald's.
Well, that's right. But if that's their first question, I'm going to refer them on because I want the clients who really want to make a change. That's a thing that it took me several years to learn. But the first question that I ask the client when they sit in the chair after we built a little bit of rapport, and, you know, the first question is, what do you want to change today? Because we're going to work on a change today. What do we want to change today? Rather than, oh, what do you want? What do you want to do? I mean, how much time can you spend with them telling you, well, I want to win the lottery and I really want to be beautiful and I really want this. What do you want to change today? Well, today I'm spending too much money on this and I need to get that reined in. Okay, now we've got something to work on to change.
Oh, cool.
And yeah. So I really like to do that. I would love to be able to charge by the change, I think. but that's hard to do too, because sometimes I'll have a client who'll make 3 or 4 changes in the first 15 minutes that we're together.
Right.
So charge them 3 times or 4 times or 5 times the rate. I'm not sure exactly how to do that.
Well, I know, what is it? I always tell I would always do this when I'd have an intern or somebody I was training, they'd be sitting there and especially if they got misinformed on how to charge. And somebody come in, and I always tell the story, a guy came in, he had a fear of heights and was referred by somebody who lost weight. So anyway, it's one of those stories. And he was an iron worker from Chicago, but he was on vacation in Fort Myers, Florida. And so where I did the intake and we're talking, I said, well, we could do that. And I said, I think we can knock this out in one session, but let me ask you a question. How much would it be worth to you if we could fix this today? And he went, I don't know, $1,000. And I went, well, good news for you. It's only $750, you know? And so then we did the little interaction and I almost felt guilty at the end. He's writing me a check for $750 because he's an iron worker and he got a fear of heights. So he quit working on the high floors. And I guess they make more money when they're at the top. Yeah. So, but he happily at the end, he wrote the check. You know, I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do too. I said, I'll put it right here and I won't cash it for 2 weeks. So I want you to really, because we tested it where we could. I'll go home and climb a building and make sure it's fine. And, you know, if I don't hear from you, I'm going to cash the check.
Right.
But I used to get in that. I got to get back in that habit. Well, what's it worth to you to sober up?
I love that.
And then people will say a lot more than you're expecting.
Because it is worth it to them. If they make that change, they make that change, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Typically, they're not coming to us first. I would love for that to change too. Will, you ask me what would I like to see change? I would like to see hypnosis on the front lines of any kind of health issue. I would love to see hypnosis on the front lines of that, as opposed to at the tail end, which is, I think, where we still are today. They've tried everything else, and then they go to the witch doctor, and then they get their mindset straightened out, and it changes everything.
When I had clinical hypnosis in Maryville, I used to, in the ad, it would say clinical hypnosis, da, 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 the clinic of last resort. I should bring that back, and people like that. I'm like, I know you didn't call me first. You've been to Weight Watchers. You've been to Jenny Craig, you know.
Right. I might run people off from my business because right on the homepage of my website, I say hypnosis is not magic. Hypnosis is not voodoo. Hypnosis is you do. And let me show you how to do it. But for people who just want magic or who want somebody else to do it for them, it's kind of a good way to say, and I tell my clients, if they're with me for smoking cessation or weight loss, I tell them, I am not going to follow you around in your life and keep the fork out of your mouth or keep the cigarette out of your mouth. That program is prohibitively expensive. We can talk about it if that's the one you prefer, but what I'm going to teach you to do is do it without me following you around in your life. And I think that's part of what we really ought to be telling them, is we're going to empower them. And you can do almost anything when your mind is in the right mindset.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Front lines.
Cool. Yes, ma'am. And
I talked a moment ago about being a regressionist, and I don't really want to leave the wrong impression in saying that. I do like to use regression and progression, but rather than looking for the ugliness in life, because I think the human condition often has us looking for the worst possible scenarios. I mean, it's a good way to set us up because it keeps us out of a lot of trouble if we're constantly looking for what can eat us or hurt us or kill us. But because we are naturally wired in that direction, I really like to work with my clients on finding the resources that they already have within them to use that to create a change, to use that and apply whatever they've used for positive work in the past into their future. And it's one of my favorite techniques, actually, is looking for positives and applying those to the future rather, and it's really all about the meta pattern, isn't it? The meta pattern of change, associate in, dissociate from, find the resource, and then apply the resource to the problem. And that's really what this kind of regression work that I like to do. And I'll look for problems too if we have to, but I really like and use with a lot of my clients this positive regeneration or positive resource finding, or I like to call it the recollection technique. the recollection technique, collecting up good stuff.
Oh, cool.
You want to try it?
Yes. Let's do that. I was just going to ask that. Yes, I can always use it. Yes.
How cool that would be.
Yes.
So, Dr. Will Horton, is there anything that you, any aspect that you would like more of?
Yeah, I need to refocus where I'm taking my practice, my business, and all my stuff.
Refocus. Tell me what that means to you.
To focus on what I like to do and I'm good at and just keep building on that.
Ah, good. And when you really have your focus toward what you like to do and what you're good at, what will that do for you?
It'll streamline my trainings, my what I'm doing.
And when you streamline the trainings, what does that do for you?
Then I can really just keep doing the stuff I like, because I've been doing this for 30 something years. So I got trainers all over. They can do stuff that they like and kind of what we talked about, which everybody can follow their heart.
Right.
And
are there things in your life that even right now are things, not training and that kind of stuff, not business, but are there things in your life that you really do because you like to do them? And because you're good at them?
Yes.
Give me an example.
Just in general?
Sure, in general. Things that you like to do and that you're good at.
Acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
Motivating people.
Ah, motivating. Okay, good. If you don't mind, let's just play with acting for a moment.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
So, you can leave your eyes wide open. I don't care because this works eyes open or closed. But if you do close your eyes, you'll notice that it blocks out a lot of visual input that's bombarding you. And so it might help you more easily access some of this great stuff.
Okay.
So as you're talking about acting, is there any specific time that you can recall that you might have been at a crossroads with acting? Do I do this or do I not do this? Or has there ever been a crossroad time?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, besides the one I'm in now.
Okay. Yeah. I'd rather you, is there another time?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was several years ago. I pretty much had stopped acting a lot. You know, I used to do 2-3 plays a year and things like that. And then I just kind of pulled back. And I was at the crossroads. Do I want to do it? Do I not want to do it? You know, and I jumped back in and, you know, I loved it.
And jumping back in, when you jumped back in, how did you know to jump back in? You were at that crossroads, and how did you know to jump back in?
Something was missing in my life.
How do you know?
There was an emptiness.
And that emptiness led you to fill it through acting? Am I understanding that correctly?
It fills a need.
And so you jumped back into acting, and what did that do for you?
It gave me the, I would use the term escape, but that's probably not the word I want. Escape. Relief.
Ah. Escape and relief. Those are really good words. Any others?
A place for the expression of it, you know. I know what a lot of it is. Like when I'm, and people go, well, but you're a trainer and you're doing this. It's kind of like acting. I go, not really, because when you act and you got a script, it's not your words. You're making something come alive that's not yours. If it's yours, it's one thing. But when it's like Tennessee Williams, it makes you channel differently. And I think it makes me a better trainer and all that stuff, but it's a, you know.
And so all of this training that you do, is that all of yours or are you training anything else? I mean, it's, did you all of this?
It's pretty much, yeah, for the last 25 years, it's my version of everything.
Your version of everything. But did all of your versions of everything have an initial script? Was there an initial Tennessee Williams who produced all of it?
Yeah.
And when you act a Tennessee Williams play, as an example, you're bringing somebody else's words to life by what you add to it, by what you recreate, are you not?
Right.
Yes. By how you interpret it.
Yes.
And the way that you interpret it is giving it new life, is it not?
Yep.
And when you have been successful at giving something new life, somebody else's words or somebody else's thing, and you give it new life and it's a great production and you feel that relief and you feel that expression and you feel that escape, what does that do for you?
Makes me feel connected.
And I'm wondering now, as you jump back in to your focus on your business, I'm wondering how you might escape the confines and get some relief by really building it and moving it on and express yourself and all of this wonderful, the version that you have given to all of these wonderful works. I wonder what part of you will want to share that in a new production with more training and more efforts. Is there any part of you that will want to fill up that void in your business by applying that focus in this direction, by jumping in and moving forward with it?
Yeah.
How might you do that? I mean, let's look forward. Let's look ahead. How might you apply that? Jumping back in and really looking at the things you like, the trainings that you like to do, the addictions that you specialize in. How will you get new life and pass it forward?
Take a lot of what I learned over the years in theater after 125 productions and several films and things like that, and take that skill set into the making the trainings more different.
It's very interesting to me that you already possess that skill set. You already know exactly how to do that. And you've applied that to Tennessee Williams. I wonder how you will apply that now to the stuff that you are presenting, because you are actually giving new life to old techniques that you've given a version to that's made it better. It's made it alive. It's made it current.
Right.
And taking the words and the scripts, the concepts of old and giving them new life in a new production?
Right.
What's the first step?
To redo my book.
Ah, you already have a book, and all you have to do is redo it.
Yeah, I need to, shameless plug, it needs like to redone. Because there's new information. I've added all that neuroplasticity stuff that I've been studying.
Right. But you don't have to reinvent the book, right? You just have to do some addition.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, be like volume two, Beyond Recovery or Treatment Rethinking Treatment. Oh, there's a title. Rethinking Treatment.
There you go.
why do 10 people walk into, I don't care what the treatment center or AA, why did out of the 10 people that walk in, 5 do fine, 5 not, even if they're doing the exact same thing.
Right. So you already have the basic concept, and now what you're doing is adding on and giving it new life. Is that correct to your book?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not just redoing old stuff. Truthfully, you're creating volume two.
Right.
You're creating.
Well, yeah. It's like when you do a play, you know, like I did a play, I don't know how many years ago, I don't even want to say, but I was in this play. And then it was many years later, I'm directing the play. So I'm doing it differently because this time I'm from the outside. And then we had to replace the actor that the part I did like 12 years before it. So I had to step in and do it. So it was much different because I'm not the same guy I was 12 years ago when I did that part. And I have different training experience and thought.
But you did that and it was successful. And was it enjoyable?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you were.
And the cast was different. So that was fun. Yeah.
And so you have this experience already. As you take that experience of directing that play and having to step in and make things different, you can apply that exact same philosophy. You already have that success. You already know how to do that. You can apply that exact same technique to your business. And then it's kind of like that. I don't know why I jumped to the musical Wicked, but then you're just dancing through life.
Right.
You've yes. already done it once before.
Right. Yes.
So your first step is to redo the book. What's your second step?
To actually start getting interviews for it. Because old-fashioned media works for that concept.
Right. Okay, so you've got the first two steps. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. What were you going to say?
Well, and then I've learned in the last few months or year, I don't know, while, that how to be better when you're an interviewee. Because I've done hundreds of these interviews for other people when you're the interviewee, but especially if you want to get on, and I've learned this because I took a class in it, radio, TV, things like that, is be controversial and stand up. As one guy says, tell the truth, but show the proof.
Yeah.
You know, and I already got it. It's like treatment ain't working. You know, 400 people are going to overdose on opioids today. And everybody forgets about 1,000 people will die from alcohol-related illnesses today. So what we're doing ain't working.
Right. Right. Except you're going to change what we're doing to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you already know what your skill set is. You already know how to apply that to your business. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you have agreed to me and all of the people watching this that you're going to redo your book and do some interviews to kick this thing off. So if you don't do those things, we're all going to know.
Yeah. Okay.
And you just made yourself accountable.
Yeah. And I got to have it up. I got to have the rough version ready by the conference. Are you going to IAC? But
By Daytona, yes.
I should have the rough version there, but the final one by HypnoThoughts or the Guild.
All right. So when I see you in Daytona Beach, May 17th, 18th, and 19th, and I know that Will's got a luncheon on that Saturday, which is going to be really impressive on addictions, by the way. So if you're either at IACT or you're streaming it, you'll be able to check that out. A little plug for that. I have a luncheon on Sunday, by the way, which is going to be really fun. But yes, so at IACT, one of the first things I will ask you when I see you is, may I see the first draft of the redo?
All right.
Cool. So that in a nutshell, Will, is the process. We go back and we look for places where they have had success and whatever it is they're talking about. Now I could have given you all sorts of suggestions. I could have said, well, you need a marketer or you need to do this, you need to do that. I don't have any idea how you're running your business, nor do I need to know how you're running your business. All I have to do is ask you if there was, and you mentioned acting and you mentioned motivating to me. Sounded like too close to your business model. So we went with acting because that's something that you really love and discovered in that dissociated event in your life, how you created success there. And since you weren't talking about your business, you were able to easily look at creating success in that other thing that you love. And once you did that, it made it easy to see how you can apply that same strategy to what you're doing now.
Cool. And where can people get in touch with you to get more info on this kind of thing?
Hey, you can get in touch with me easily at Karen@KarenHand.com. Hand, like that. I, by the way, am the right hand. So Karen@KarenHand.com. And KarenHand.com is my website. That's easy enough. By the way, if you're interested in a deeper dive looking at that particular technique, I've got a video with a demo on it that I would be happy to send you. And if you'll just send me an email and say, send me that regeneration or send me that technique you did with Dr. Will, I'll be happy to send you the link to that video and you can look at it whenever you want to. That's
all right. And that'll be on the, I'll do my thing. That'll be on the thing below, you know, in the comment section on Facebook or on YouTube. I'll put it there. Cool. You know, and in the e-zine, if you're getting this on the NFNLP e-zine, it'll be there for people to pick up.
May I take a moment to then also plug my book that you helped actually generate information to write? My book, Magic Words and Language Patterns, and Dr. Will is mentioned in here. He's as the person who led me to this. So that is one of my other passions is magic words and language patterns that are easy to use, easy to use. You don't have to go with no seventh grade English in order to accomplish it.
Naturally, as you look to the future, you realize today is the day to make the change for the future, not like the past. So you have to do these things in such a, yada, yada.
A little bit of that, yeah.
And as my dear friend Tony Robbins would say.
That's right, that's right. Yeah. Oh, you know, and I have stolen, I'll admit to you here, I have stolen a couple of your guru stories and I use them. And Sean Carson made unlimited fun of me at a HypnoThoughts recently, as I was saying, and when you're looking for a guru, et cetera, et cetera. He came up afterwards and said, I have never seen anyone so overtly use this anchoring stuff. I said, guess what? It just doesn't matter. Because that was 3 years ago and he still calls me his guru.
Yeah, he's never seen me. I'm constantly.
Where do you think I learned it?
Yeah.
And it worked on me.
I tell people, like when I'm starting this thing, I'll say, close your eyes, da-da-da-da-da. Now think of somebody you respect and admire. Okay, open your eyes, look up here. All right, good. Let's get going. Then I'll do this. And people come up. I'm surprised you did that. You know, I mean, how do I not do it? I'm pretty sure the head of General Motors drives a General Motors car.
You would think, wouldn't you?
At least in public, he's going to drive a General Motors car.
Right. Yeah. Where do you think I learned it? And so once again, I thank
you. Cool. All right. Well, I'd like to thank you. And again, it's KarenHand.com if you want more info or write her at Karen@KarenHand.com and she'll send you that. And the book is really good. I got a copy. You gave it to me at HypnoThoughts.
I did.
Yeah. Yep. And anyway, so we'll see you as we trudge the road to destiny.